the Brandon Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Metashare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brandt's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrandtHanson.com.
Here is part two of our women's roundtable discussion as Brandt launches questions to us. I have to tell you that it is much easier for me to be in the questioner seat than the person being questioned. I found this really uncomfortable, not because I didn't want to be honest. It's just, I'll say this. It gave me respect for Brandt and the guys who were a part of the guys' roundtable, because I was the one with the questions and they didn't know what I was going to ask them. So having the roles reversed actually made me respect them even more. So this is part two, and we'll start with a question from the one and only Brandt Hanson.
Okay, let me ask you, Tori, about feeling God's presence. What is that for you? I mean, does that happen often? What does that mean, even?
Maybe that's why things like these conferences or things where there's an atmosphere don't resonate with me, because I think I do feel God's presence. I feel it kind of at my core in a way that I don't know is really relatable or easy to explain. But, I grew up without a father, and kind of one of my learnings throughout my Christian formation as a kid was that God is a father, and God was my father, and God provided for me. And so I think I see him in those ways now. So when I see provision in my life, it's like that is God as my father's presence with me. And I just, it's kind of like deep in my soul in a way that isn't usually brought out by things that other people are doing. It's like a me and God thing where I see him show up in something. And, or maybe, you know, that's hard to explain because I don't actually see him physically show up, but there's this sense of his presence and his care over my life.
So do you ever pray for wisdom?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
I mean, overtly, just like, because I think you're really wise. Mm-hmm. Like, and Tori's the one in her 20s, by the way. Yeah. Do you mind if I?
Oh, fine. Yeah.
I don't know exactly how old you are.
I'm 28.
28. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I think we'd all agree, we all know Tori, like way beyond your, that's why I wondered, because I keep trying to encourage people to ask, like just actually ask God humbly, please help me, give me wisdom, please.
Yeah.
And I can see it with you, and I that's just one thing, having worked for you and with you, like I admire some, actually all three of you are really wise people. Let me ask you about feeling God around, is that something, Julie, you relate to when you see people getting emotional? Do you ever get emotional like that, or like how do you relate to God? Because I think there is this expectation for women, like I'm supposed to be emotional.
I think I can get emotional. I don't think that's the way I sense the Holy Spirit necessarily. So like there are times I'll be in worship and I'm not emotional at all, and other times I am. Sometimes that's just because of what's going on in life. That I'm just like over the top and I need a place, and that's where it comes out. Okay. But I don't think like if I'm not emotional that I'm not sensing the Holy Spirit's presence. I don't think they're synonymous for me. After living overseas, like it is very common to be very like vocal and loud and
demonstrative.
Yeah. In worship. And so that was all like, I think became more normal for me. So
to be more demonstrative.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Question, shifting gears a little bit.
I don't dance though, or like wave anything.
I'll tell you what, I can.
What?
I can dance a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a dancer.
If you, yeah. Mm-hmm. If you get a little.
I don't have any feelings, but I can dance like nobody's business.
Yes, it is nobody's business.
In fact, my lack of feelings when I do the robot actually really enhances
You're just doing it out of obedience.
So when we see you doing that,
yeah,
the Holy Spirit is upon you.
Because I have, right.
To do
just
the robot.
Because I have no feelings. My robotic moves are legit.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you, because Julie's the only one that's married here of the three of you. How is your, I was just wondering, how has your idea of the ideal husband changed since you got married?
I have a great husband.
Yes, you do. He's awesome.
He's awesome. And he's 10 years older than I am. And when I first met him, I thought, I've never met a man like this. and I didn't like him because I thought he was so old. Then I kept getting to know him.
So very old.
And I just realized he's everything I've ever.
You never met a man like what?
A man. So I met him on the mission field, and he was really put together. He knew about stuff in the U.S. I felt like missionaries tended to be very, like, didn't ever watch TV, the news, very, like.
Yeah, wouldn't be able to relate.
Yeah, and I felt like he was, like, dressed well. He was a great conversationalist. He knew what was going on in the world, and he loved the Lord. And he wasn't super verbal about that, but the way he interacted with everyone showed me, like, this guy gets it. Like, he understands who Jesus is.
Huh.
So I felt like that's what I loved first about Derek. Now that I'm married to him, he's still great.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I still love him so much. But he's not perfect, and I've had to deal with, like, the stuff that I thought was valuable as a youth. Now, like, I'm watching him as a dad, and that's so different than the guy when you're dating him, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I'm watching him when work is trialing, and, like, he's being a man of integrity and stuff that I just didn't see beforehand.
Uh-huh.
That is actually so much more important than, is he super cute? Is he super athletic? Mm-hmm. Is he, you know, all those things that...
Hey, we just talked about that, actually.
We did, and one thing I was trying to pinpoint, we actually talked about this on the podcast, I was like, just look for character.
Yeah.
The rest of the stuff, you'd be surprised how much you can shape a man, but not the character.
No.
Like, if you think you're going to change that, you're messed.
Won't.
But the other stuff, you could have some, like, you could dress him nicer or whatever.
I was going,
like,
to say, you could shop for him.
Absolutely. There are all sorts of things that can change.
Yeah. Plastic
but
surgery.
Not that. But the thing I love that you pinpointed, how he was treating other people. Because I was saying, Sherry asked, well, how can you tell character? Mm. I'm like, well, after a while, you observe how he treats people who can't do anything for him.
Totally. Like, that's what we're – there's gardeners around, right? And they're the most uneducated, lowest paid, no one pays attention.
In a hospital setting.
In a hospital setting. Right. And in Africa. And I saw Derek, like, communicate with them every single day. And when we left, Derek had been there 8 years, and they said, who will stand up for us now that you're gone?
That's awesome.
And that was the person that – the community didn't revere. It wasn't the surgeon that Derek fought for. It was the gardener who, you know.
Bingo.
So that to me is, you're legit. Like, you mean what you say.
Yes. We may just take that soundbite and delete everything else and send it out to every single woman. Like, that is just so awesome. Mm-hmm. What do you, Tori, as a single person? Maybe this is too cliche of a question because there's an obvious right answer is what we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. But
Jesus.
Any thoughts on that? Like, what you look for in a prospective husband?
I feel like I'm going to – you can cut this part out. I'm going to blow up the podcast because I'm not a single person anymore, actually.
So are you engaged?
Even, like, well –
she's in a committed relationship.
I'm in a very committed relationship, yeah.
Okay, so we have – it's even better diversity. We have don't really want to get married necessarily and in a committed relationship, not single but not married yet, and then married.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what do you value?
Yeah. I think I'm pretty perceptive and a pretty good judge of character. I only say that because my mom always told me that since I was a little kid. And so really, yeah, right answer. It is all of those things. I look at the heart, and I could tell from the very beginning that Galen has just a heart of gold. And regardless of all of the surface things or even the things that are real issues in our lives, his heart is to follow the Lord, and his heart is to be righteous. And that is what draws me to him.
How can you tell?
He's humble, and he's incredibly kind. I see his kindness just to everybody and to my family, which is extremely important to me. Just a man who wants to care for my mom and wants to have a solid mother-son kind of relationship because it's important to me.
Understands your connection to your mom.
Yes.
And does it make you choose between your mom and your sister?
Supports my family. Yeah. Supports my family, supports me. So excited about my job and the fact that I get to do this as a way of ministry now. I think he would love to go into full-time ministry someday, but just his support for seeing me grow in my professional life in a way that reflects something that Jesus loves is really special to me.
Is it? And he also sings karaoke with you.
Yeah. Really good at karaoke.
That's really good. We got a video of John, what was it, Bon Jovi one time while we were out on tour. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
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 He had a set of pipes there.
Who's better at karaoke, you or him?
He's better at karaoke. Really? He's more lively at karaoke. I would have to say that I probably have a better sense of pitch and things. Mm-hmm. But, okay, can I just tell you, we have a really cool karaoke idea. Mm-hmm. And now it's going to get out there and someone's going to do it. And dang it.
What is it?
I shouldn't have brought it up.
No, do it. Do it. What's your karaoke idea?
Reverse karaoke. So the karaoke MC plays the words. Uh-huh. And you have to sing like the riffs and the drums and the guitars. So, you know, that's like everyone's favorite part of real karaoke.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
So you're doing the music.
Yeah, you're doing the music.
Yeah.
And they're doing the words.
That's a real interesting idea.
I would give you an example.
I have good news. I don't think anybody's going to run with this.
You guys hold on to that.
But it's still, I like that you're thinking an entrepreneurial way. Let's talk about appearance a little bit here. And Sherry, how much do you care about what other women think about what you look like? Mm. 1 to 10.
Now probably about a 5.
Okay.
But it was definitely higher when I was younger.
Okay. So you care to this day. Who's your audience in your mind?
My mom.
Your mom. What she thinks. Because your mom is glamorous.
Yes, she is. Oh. Yes, she is.
Straight up glamorous. Have you met her mom?
No. Well, okay. I think maybe once.
Yes. She's very, very... She's glamorous. I mean, and not in a diva way.
No.
But she's just incredibly put together all the time.
Incredibly humble and incredibly put together.
Yes. And I grew up rather tomboyish. Mm. So that was always in the back of my mind. Like, even little things, this is probably not good to admit, but I'll say it. Like, if I don't have earrings on, like, I have been known to go to CVS or Walmart and pick up some hoops or something because I just, it's what I know. It's
but at this point, it's not really necessarily, you're not afraid that your mom will see you without earrings.
No,
this is in the back of your mind, though, is this is the expectation.
And this is the way, yeah.
It's fun, too, right?
It is, and I have grown into, I will say that, I've grown into and evolved into whatever I look like and not being intimidated by what other women would think about that. But that definitely has been a process. I will say that when I say my mom's my audience, I will also say, like, I went to a high school where, you know, just quite frankly, everybody was thin, everybody was rich, everybody was white. I was none of those things. And so and then tomboyish on top of that. Mm-hmm. So I always felt like kind of, I was never fitting in with what everybody else was doing, and it took me a while to break that in my mind.
Tori, what about you? 1 to 10. Just be honest. I don't think there's any wrong.
Yeah.
You should be able to say 10 or 1 or 5 or whatever and whatever.
I don't know. It's as Cher was talking, I was thinking about it. For me, I feel like if anything, I'm more intimidated by women that I think are just naturally very pretty. I know it doesn't matter to me as much if someone's super put together or really stylish. There's something about like a really natural beauty that just looks effortless and
that's
is
awesome.
Like, oh, I just I don't have to try very hard.
I woke up this way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, and that's like a cliche, but there are people that don't try very hard.
But in your mind, like when you get ready to go out with friends or something, are you thinking I need to look good because I want other women to think I look nice or something? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. You kind of want to look like your peers, I think, or at least I do. And I don't want to stand out and be, well, I don't know. I have friends of all different kinds. Uh-huh. But that thought process, yes, definitely. How it plays itself out, I don't know that it necessarily plays itself out for me. Maybe that's what I'm getting at. Maybe I think it. But then, yeah, I do what I do, and they do what they do. Okay. But I think there's a natural kind of peer-to-peer question or judgment there for women, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Julie, 1 to 10? on that
I
one?
I think a 5 to 7.
All right.
Probably lower as I get older.
Yeah.
I care more about what I wear the older I get, but it's not for others.
Yes, that's a good way to put it.
So, like, when I'm younger, it was like we didn't have as much money. We also went to an elite prep school. Mm-hmm. Everyone's wearing very expensive clothes. My mom shopped at yard sales, and I was always like, dang it, you can't buy $80 jeans, mm-hmm. you know? I felt really more insecure about that.
Yeah.
The older I get, I can buy what I want. Mm-hmm. But I'm not doing it necessarily for other people.
Uh-huh.
That's a good way to put it. I would agree with that.
Okay. Let me ask one more thing. And that is about communicating. Mm. So I don't even know how to form this as a question, but...
That's ironic.
I know. I'm singing the same thing. Case in point, women are better communicators.
That's a great point. Okay. You are. You are better and worse.
Oh.
Okay,
gosh.
So my editorial opinion, but then you guys talk about it, all
right? Disagree with that.
So better and worse, meaning, like, Julie being married to Derek, don't you think there's sometimes you're like, what does he really mean by that? And all he meant was exactly what he said.
Yes.
And that's really hard for a guy because it's like, I just told you exactly what I think. Please don't keep at, like, but your women are so dialed into subtleties and picking up on subtle stuff that there's so much more going on. It can be exhausting for men. I cannot imagine what it would be like to be a woman. I guess you're equipped for it. And I'm using big blanket statements, but like you're reading stuff I'm completely unaware of. And does that frustrate you when you're talking to women that they're not saying what they think, but they're banking on you to pick up on subtle suggestions or something? I don't even know how to say it. Is that ever exhausting or frustrating to you that it's not more direct?
Yes, but I tend to be a direct person.
You are, right.
So for me, and I tend to be pretty intuitive. So I feel like when people say things, I'm like, I know that's not what you mean.
So it is frustrating.
Yes, and I think it can cause some miscommunications because then I'll ask more probing questions like to try to get them to admit or say or whatever they're thinking. And... not every woman wants to be that honest,
uh-huh.
right? So I think it's frustrating even for women to have the vague communication.
I wondered about that. Tori?
I think that it's maybe because I'm less direct than Julie is, it's not as frustrating because it's the world that I like live in and communicate in. And you kind of, expect it and then figure it out.
Uh-huh.
And I think because it's so common that we're saying so many things that it's just like a natural way of how I process what other women are saying.
Well, I guess nobody says exactly what they're thinking. That's good. We all filter it. But if we don't mean what we say, we really mean something else.
That would be rude.
That's frustrating.
Yeah. And I don't think I would be surprised if as many women who are probably saying something other than what they are thinking actually realize that's what they're doing to that degree. Because I don't think any of us would want to say, like, or would believe, yeah, I know that I say what I don't mean all the time. But there's
so
many...
Yeah, you're not trying to be deceptive.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's these layers and things that we kind of just learn.
Sure. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Sherry, what would you say on that? Typical. Frustrating.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah, she didn't like it.
I really do hate it. And I don't know how to... It puts me in a real awkward position because I can push, but I already feel like it goes back to the intimidating thing. Like, I'm usually... If I'm intimidated, I'm intimidated by quiet women because I always think they're thinking, I wish she would shut up. And... I'm thinking the exact same thing. Like, I wish I would shut up too. I can't.
So. Go ahead, continue.
This is it. Sorry. So I think that I have that, and then it's like I can feel it. Like, I think I am intuitive, so I can feel the vibe, and I usually feel it immediately. Mm. And then if you start saying something that isn't the vibe that I know.
Totally.
Then it's like, doggone it, are we gonna be honest? And then I really don't know what to do at that point. Mm-hmm. Because then I feel fake. Does that make sense? Like, you're, however you're being and whatever you're saying, two different things. And now I don't know whether to go according to how you're acting or go according to what you're saying.
Totally.
That makes me really uncomfortable.
That is frustrating.
I don't know. I don't think I know enough people. Okay. I don't know enough women.
Well, you work, you work in a really neat place, honestly.
Yeah.
I think.
But I experience this often, listening to you guys.
I think you work in a neat place. Like the place mm-hmm. that Sherry and I used to work. No one needs to do research on that. But
stop
my
Googling.
Goodness, but no one would say the meetings were just avoidance. It was just bizarre.
But still dripping intention.
Oh,
right.
My goodness.
And that's that passive aggressive that I can't handle.
And it would come out everywhere else except.
Right.
But the whole place is insecure, even though all the people are awesome. Like almost all are just great workers or whatever. But everybody's insecure because of that permeation of this ethos of not saying it.
And then you know what else? What I would end up doing is I started dialing back. Mm-hmm. Myself with people because I don't know where you're coming from now. So now I don't know. It just made me so uncomfortable that I started not even being myself because I didn't understand who you were.
Yeah.
So you would be in the room with Tori and you guys would out of the room. You know, I don't know. You know, she's now I don't. So then I'd start being different because I don't know what I honestly don't know what to do.
You didn't feel safe in those relationships.
I didn't. And I don't think that I'll be honest and say I don't think I handled it the best that I could because I didn't know what to do. I don't know how to handle that. So I'd just be I don't know if I'd be passive aggressive myself, but I know I'd shut down.
Right.
I know I would do that.
Well, you made little sculptures and set them on fire.
Yeah,
and
I did that too. Was that out of bounds?
It was not okay.
Man. Well, who knew?
It's
the only way I do
that. But you live and you learn.
You know what? If you're in church culture too, like I grew up with family and ministry and all of that, that's because everyone's trying to be so holy.
Right.
Everyone's trying to be so righteous. So it's all of this undercurrent going on because we're never really saying what we believe or what we think or how we feel because everybody's trying to one-up each other Christian-wise, quote-unquote. So I think if you grew up like that, like I did, like you did, Brent, Julie, you probably grew up in that. Tori, I don't know if you...
Yeah.
And you see it, then it's just, man, that undercurrent will suck the life out of you.
And I think then my reaction then... Mm-hmm. is to probably even be self-deprecating to, like, allow other people to kind of come off your stinking pedestal.
Yeah.
Like, we all... So in the moms groups, you got these moms that are like, I almost raised my voice at my kids today. And I'm like...
Thank you for your confession.
I'm pretty sure I don't belong at this table. You know, or they watch 23 minutes of that show, and I'm like, dang, I was trying to get something finished at dinner. You watched an hour, you know, and then all of a sudden I'm feeling like this judgment. Well, the reality is none of our lives are really that put together behind the scenes. So how do we as a community, like, allow people the safety to be like, it's okay you want to throw your kids out the window today. Like, we all go through those moments. You know, feel okay to say that. I think the Christian community is probably a tough place to get there.
How do we allow ourselves that safety? That's a great question.
Yeah.
I don't know that I have the answer for it, but that's a good question.
It is. This is all good stuff. And it's ironic, too, because I brought this up about how women, but actually the tone of the place we're working at was set by men. So it really isn't gender specific at all. But I just wanted you to talk about it. So thank you, ladies.
All right, before we end this second and final part of our women's roundtable discussion, I don't know if it was in this podcast or the one before, where Tori brings up that she and her boyfriend have this karaoke idea where instead of singing the words, you do the music and the music breakdowns and all of that. And later in the discussion or in a recording or whatever, we tried that idea. And I did not want to put this in the podcast, and you will hear me say that in what you're about to hear. But Brant thought it was funny. And so if you're offended in any way by what you're about to hear, if you don't like it, if you're like, oh, my goodness, whatever, please blame Brant Hansen. In fact, for anything that you hear that you're not a fan of, you can blame Brant Hansen. But anyway, this was us trying Tori's idea of reverse karaoke. This is how that went down.
You try. You sing. And I'll do something.
Well, no, so like it has to be at a part where there's a true instrumental solo.
Like
that's
what?
Why that one was, that
well,
was
I could,
hard.
I could accompany.
What's it, Bohemian Rhapsody?
No, do what? Sing a song.
I'm thinking.
How about Doves Cry?
Yeah, do it.
Shine, Jesus, shine.
Take if you will. This is a picture. My sister. What is it?
Take if you will, my sister. What in the world kind of podcast is this?
Sorry. Oh, like the real lyrics are much better. He would never do something like that.
Take if you will, my sister. All right, well, that's that.
She's a good example of a godly woman.
None of this is going on the podcast. No, you don't have to save it. Really?
Let me do the Instagram.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
I'm trying to think of a good one. Well, anyone else think of like one that has an awesome instrumental solo or like drum part? Oh, you know that song that's like, I can feel it coming at the end of night. Hold on. But then the part. See?
Yeah.
We got that.
Wait, so would you be doing the drums, the karaoke person?
The karaoke person does the drums. So the whole song plays.
Karaoke person.
So you're just standing up there for the drums.
Yeah, like
we just
got it.
Dun 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 dun. Yeah.
And so the music is playing, the song is playing.
But
then all you're doing is
does the karaoke host back out all the instruments?
Yes.
Then? Okay.
Oh, yikers.
Or, you know, it could be like guitar riff.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Billie Jean. Yeah.
Yes,
go ahead.
Like that.
Dig if you will the picture of you and I engaged in a kiss. The words are inappropriate here, but you understand it. Can you, my darling? Can you picture this? That's very good. Now the E is mine. You're supposed
to... Shark Tank it.
Someone's gonna take this.
This concludes.
It's too good.
This has to be the end.
Truly oddcast.
Yes, thank you. Anyone still listening now? We applaud you. You're probably incapacitated, so you're not able to shut off the thing. And we hope that you get feeling better. You're reaching, trying to shut it off. I can't reach it.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.